We're in John chapter 15, and this morning our text will be verses 26 and 27 as we continue our study through the Gospel according to John. John chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, and if you'll please follow along with me as I read those verses. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be in church today. Thank you for everyone that's gathered here. We ask for your help and blessing and ministry in each and every life, each and every family represented here. We pray that as we open your word this morning, that the Spirit of God would touch hearts. Lord, that you would open our hearts to hear your voice and that each of us would take the next spiritual step that needs to take place in our lives, whether it begins with conversion to Christ and receiving him as Lord this morning or else going forward in the Christian life. But we pray you'd speak to all of us because each and every one of us stands in need of you today. And I pray that we might realize that and ask that your Spirit might help us even in the study and delivery of your word. We pray that all things that are done throughout the remainder of this day would honor you. Every word that we say, the thoughts of our hearts, all that we do, please help us to honor you throughout the remainder of this church service, Lord, as we give heed to your word. Please help us, we pray to that end. In Jesus' name, amen. This is in our text of scripture on the last night that Jesus was with his disciples before he would go to be crucified on the cross. As Jesus sat at this Last Supper with his disciples, he had, in this passage of Scripture, just informed his disciples, those 12 apostles, that they could expect to be hated by the world just as he had been hated by the world. Jesus had exposed the world's sin, and therefore Jesus became the object of hatred. And as Jesus was in this world, so are we in this world. Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. The world's hatred for Jesus Christ and for Christians, as we mentioned last week, is even seen at this blessed time of Christmas, where the world fights to keep Christ out of Christmas, which is interesting. It's interesting, though, that darkened, hardened, and ungodly sinners will embrace a seasonal song such as one which tells of a grandmother getting drunk on eggnog, forgetting her medication, stumbling out into the snow, and being killed in a hit-and-run accident by Santa, his sleigh, and reindeer. This, by the way, leaves Grandpa with nothing else to do in life but to watch football, to drink beer, and to play cards with Cousin Mel. The world says, well, that's great humor. Of course, the Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:9 that only fools make a mock at sin. And so the world embraces that type of thing, and yet, as this true story goes, there was a department store in which a traditional Christmas carol was being broadcast through the speakers. That Christmas carol simply told the pure and precious story of how the Son of God came to this earth, born as a humble baby, laid in a manger that he might later die on the cross to save us from our sins. And one man hearing that looked at a fellow customer and complained, "Would you listen to that? They're trying to force religion into everything these days, even Christmas." And of course, there is no such thing as Christmas without Christ. And though the world may try to keep Jesus out of their Christmas, folks, he won't stay out. And Jesus, by the way, did not ask for the world's permission about when he was going to come to earth. And he's not going to ask for the world's permission of when he's going to come again. Even when the world tries to use such things as, well, like the word Xmas, often used to dismiss the name of Christ, and yet even in that character X, or the Greek letter X, which is the first Greek letter in the name Christos or Christ, there is always something pointing to Jesus. But again, this does not stop the world's war on Christ and even the world's war on Christmas. So again, get this, they're sitting at the Last Supper. Jesus interrupts this meal by saying, hey, fellas, by the way, if the world hates you, just know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you, but because I've called you out of this world, the world's going to hate you. Now, after hearing about the world's hatred toward Christ and toward Christians, some of those apostles sitting there on that night may have then asked in their hearts a question that went something like this. How in the world are we then to go and bring forth fruit as witnesses for Christ in the world? I mean, if the world hates Christ and it hates Christians, then how can we be witnesses unto Christ? Certainly those men would have been overwhelmed by that thought. And in the same way, we as Christians today, as we consider the world's hatred toward Jesus Christ and toward Christians, which seems to be ever growing in intensity, we can become intimidated about being verbal, outspoken witnesses unto Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus knew the hearts of his apostles on this night, and he knows our hearts, and Jesus gives them some words of comfort to help relieve that anxiety. This morning for our message, we're going to explore this topic together. Help for witnessing to a hateful world. Help for witnessing to a hateful world. What we learn this morning is going to remind us, first of all, that though the world largely hates Christ and rejects the gospel, you and I as Christians are responsible to preach the gospel, to be witnesses unto Christ. But also, we're going to be encouraged to know, along with those first apostles, that our Lord has not left us without power to meet this great challenge. He's given us help to be witnesses to a hateful world. Let's note two main thoughts this morning from our text along that line. Let's note, first of all, the witness of the comforter. And then secondly, the witness of the committed. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Now Jesus had earlier told his disciples about the coming ministry of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. He said that he would be sent from the Father to comfort or to come alongside and help those disciples in Jesus' place. And now again, having just said that the world was going to hate them, Jesus says, but, yes, the world's going to hate you even as it hated me, but the Holy Spirit is going to come. And when he comes, he's going to be a witness. They were told that they were to go and bring forth much fruit for the Father's glory. The world would hate and oppose them, but Jesus tells them now that they are going to have help. Because the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, was going to go out into this world and bear witness unto Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The Spirit of truth, the Holy Ghost, would, just as Jesus had done, expose and convict the world of its deceptions, lies, and disobedience. As we'll see later in chapter 16, verses 8 through 11, this would be the ongoing witness of the Holy Spirit, his work in the world. And therefore, the disciples would have help. They would have help to witness to a hateful world as the Spirit himself would bear witness. He would go before them witnessing, convicting the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He would, in a sense, soften up the world's defenses, break down its barriers by a constant barrage of inescapable truth that is directed at man's conscience. This is what the Spirit of God did prior to the judgment of the great flood. But there came a time when that witness stopped. Genesis 6:3, the Lord said, my Spirit shall not always strive with man. That verse implies that the Spirit had been striving with man. Prior to that coming flood judgment, he witnessed to turn people from sin to the Lord. Today, the Spirit of God witnesses to a world that hates Jesus Christ. And there's coming a time when that witness will cease and judgment will come upon the unrepentant. By the way, that's a warning for anyone here today. If the Spirit of God has in the past convicted you of your need for Jesus Christ, if you've never yet repented and received Jesus Christ as Lord, not simply have you prayed a prayer or joined a church or been baptized or whatever, but unless you have repented and had your sins forgiven by faith in Jesus Christ, you had better listen to the Spirit's witness. He does witness in this world. Again, the Spirit of truth testifying of Jesus would not only impact the world that hates Christ, but it would direct this sense. It would protect them from being deceived by the world. Now, the world has many ways by which it seeks to silence the witness, the convicting message of Christ. Some ways it does it just by open animosity and hatred, like, you know, shut up, don't tell me that, no, I don't want that gospel tract, get out of here. But there's other ways that the world stops the witness of Christians. It's by pretending friendship. But the Comforter helps Christians not to get swallowed up by the world's deceptions. You see, the salt of the earth will not lose its savor as long as we are filled with and led by the Spirit of truth. In John's first general epistle, 1 John chapter 2, verses 26 and 27, he says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you." He says, God has given us the Spirit of truth to help you abide in Him so that you don't get pulled the way of the world. We know, John said, that we are of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. The Spirit of truth helps us to see that this vile world is no friend to grace to help us unto God. The witness of the Comforter. Yes, the world will hate you. The world does hate Christ and it hates Christians, but the Holy Spirit is a constant witness to this world, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and coming judgment. But secondly, there's the witness of the committed. Verse 27, "And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Not only would the Comforter testify or be witness unto Jesus, but so also would be His committed followers. These men, the apostles, had been with Jesus from the beginning of His ministry. And that would qualify them to be able to go out and give a full testimony. They could go from start to finish with Jesus' earthly ministry and tell others about Christ and how He had come to save them. And that same qualification would be required later of Matthias, who would replace Judas Iscariot among the apostles. Acts 1 says, "Wherefore, of these men which have companied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection." So Jesus says, the Comforter is going to be a witness, and you're going to be a witness, and I've called you to be witnesses because you've been with me from the beginning and you can give a full testimony. Now we today, as committed followers of Jesus Christ, are also commissioned to be witnesses unto Him in this world. And though we were not with Jesus from start to finish throughout His earthly ministry, we do have much help even in this regard. That is, we have the completed Word of God that gives us full access to every needful piece of information about His ministry to make us competent witnesses. In fact, we have something better than they had. You see, none of the apostles witnessed everything that Jesus did and heard every word He said. And even the things that they saw and heard just happened so quickly as a matter of course through life that they didn't catch it all. Much of it went over their heads. It happened so quickly they didn't even recognize it. It's not like they could hit the pause button and say, hold it right there, I want to see. What did Jesus do here? No, it just happened. And so they missed so much of it, even as firsthand witnesses. But what we have today is the full and complete record of Scripture that is really better than if we had been there to see and hear things firsthand. Because we can open the Bible and it's not like Jesus speaks in one quick conversation that we can't pause and rewind and play over and over again. But we can open the Bible and we can study every word that Jesus said. We can do it slowly, methodically, and we can have a full understanding of Jesus' ministry from start to finish even better than if we had been there just through the passing life events. So we have help to be witnesses unto Christ. This also means that one of the keys to our having help to be a witness to a hateful world is that we've got to know the Word of God. Peter said, "We heard His voice in the mount, but we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed." And Peter also said this in 1 Peter 3, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Peter, how are we going to be ready? How can we be a witness unto Christ in a world that hates Christ? Well, one way we can do it is by being so up on the Scriptures that we can readily testify unto Jesus Christ as if we were among those first apostles. And only as we sanctify the Lord in our hearts and as we saturate our hearts with His Word will we be ready to give witness. This means that reading and studying the Bible is not only a vital part of our inner spiritual life, but it's absolutely crucial to our outward verbal testimony. Jesus says, you're going to be witnesses. The world's going to hate you. The Comforter's going to be there witnessing, but you're going to be witnesses because you've been with me from the beginning. And we have the completed Word of God that gives us every bit of needful information to be a credible, sound witness unto Jesus Christ. But again, having just been informed in the preceding verses that the world was going to hate them even as it hated Him, Jesus' disciples may have been overwhelmed by this responsibility to be a witness unto Him in the world. But it was, in fact, the same reminder of the coming Comforter and His bearing witness that was intended to strengthen their confidence. For when the Holy Spirit was sent, He would not only testify to the world of the truth of Jesus Christ, but He would also empower Jesus' followers to be witnesses in the world. And ultimately, Jesus would not give His apostles release to carry out their marching orders until the Holy Spirit was sent to them. In Luke 24, we read these words beginning in verse 47, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high." In Acts 1:8, we read these words, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." Acts 5:32, Peter said, "And we are witnesses, His witnesses of these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him." So the Spirit would enable them. He would empower them to be a witness to a world that hated Christ and hated His followers. Now, today, we're not living at the same time as those first apostles. We're living after the time that the Holy Spirit was sent at Pentecost. And today, every born-again child of God has been given the indwelling Holy Spirit. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. He preserves us and seals us until the return of Christ. And in the meantime, He conforms us to Christ and He empowers us to do the work of Christ. Romans 8, 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His." There is no such thing as a child of God without the Spirit of God. May I ask you, does the Holy Spirit live within you? Paul would later write to the church at Corinth and say, "Hey, prove yourselves whether Jesus Christ be in you, except you be reprobates, except you be someone that the Spirit have ceased striving with and just cast away. Prove or test yourself. See if there's evidence. Does the Holy Spirit open your eyes and heart to the Scripture? Does He give you a desire for the Word of God? Does He give you a desire to be a witness unto Jesus Christ? A desire to walk in obedience to the Word of God? Have you been born again? Have you been given new life? That is the minister of the Spirit. And so our having help to witness to a hateful world not only requires that we study the Scriptures, which make us as if we were with Jesus from beginning to end as far as His earthly ministry was concerned, but our having help to witness to a hateful world is also largely dependent on our being, as Christians, filled with or controlled by the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has all of the Holy Spirit because He's a person. And as He has all of us, we'll then have power and boldness to be witnesses unto Christ. Our ability to witness is not dependent upon our educational or social standing. It is dependent upon our spiritual consecration, whether or not we're set apart unto the Lord and filled with His Spirit. That was true of those first apostles, by the way. It wasn't like Jesus said, "Man, Peter, you've got such a dynamic personality, I can really use you to be a witness unto me." Or John, or whoever. It wasn't that at all. It was the enabling of the Spirit. Acts 4:13 gives this testimony. "Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus." And that's true for us today. Paul said again, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I can be content in all circumstances. Paul could be a witness for Christ in jail. He did it through Christ's power, which is the power of the Spirit. Paul would write to Timothy and say this, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." Finally then, our concern as followers of Jesus Christ must not be in being anxious or careful or worried about how hateful the world is toward Christ or how hateful it may become. Our concern must be on saturating our hearts with the Scriptures and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because if we have those two things, we will have help to witness to a hateful world. Our Heavenly Father is the giver of every good gift. And one of the things He delights to give His children is the help of the Holy Spirit. In Luke 11:13, Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" It's as if the Father says, "Man, I want to help you, and I'll give you the help of my Spirit." But at the same time, sin chokes the channel of the Spirit's blessing and enabling. Paul said, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." He said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And He said, "Quench not the Spirit." As we are filled with the Scriptures and filled with the Spirit, we can then smile at Satan's rage and face a frowning world as bold witnesses unto our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You that though we live in a world that celebrates Christmas and attempts to do so in many cases apart from true commitment and love for the person of Jesus Christ, may that not be true of anyone here. May we truly be able to say that we love the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our personal Lord and Savior. But Lord, though we live in a world that rejects Christ, rejects the gospel, we realize that we have a responsibility, even during this Christmas season when many people's hearts are more opened to the gospel, to be bold witnesses unto You. We thank You, Lord, that You've given us help. You've given us the completed Word of God to fill us in on all the needed details to be accurate, credible witnesses unto Christ. But we thank You for Your Spirit. I pray that we might be Spirit-filled Christians, not grieving or quenching Him, but being obedient witnesses, Spirit-filled in every situation and circumstance we face. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I ask you this question. Have you received the Holy Spirit's witness? He was sent into this world to convict the world of its need for Jesus Christ. That means that at some point, He's been trying to convict you. Have you heard His voice? Was there a time when the Holy Spirit opened your eyes, your heart, to understand that you were a lost sinner headed for a Christless eternity in a place called hell? Has the Spirit shown you that you are lost? Has the Spirit convicted you to show you that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation? And have you responded to His witness? Have you agreed to it? Have you repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your Lord? Now, every person here today has received that witness. God has witnessed to you whether you've recognized it or not. But here's the question I want to ask you today. If God is speaking to your heart, would you respond to His witness? There will come a time when He will cease from striving. And friend, when that happens, there's no hope of salvation. Because no man can come to the Father except He draw them. And He only draws by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You do not get saved anytime you want. You get saved when the Holy Spirit who regenerates us draws you to Christ. And as your friend, I'm asking you today, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart, would you not harden your heart, not reject His voice once again, but would you right now just surrender to the Lord? Is there anyone here that would say, "Preacher, yes, that's what I'm going to do. God is speaking to my heart. I'm going to quit resisting Him. And today, I'm making that decision to trust in Christ. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself, but I want Jesus Christ to save me, to take away my sins, to be my Lord, my Savior." If that's your heart this morning, you say, "Yes, that's the decision I want to make." And you'd say right here, "As best as I know how, I'm saying yes to Jesus Christ." If that's you, would you indicate that by just quietly raising your hand straight up into the air? Don't be ashamed. You'd say, "I am making that decision today to trust in Jesus Christ." All right, Christian, are you being a bold witness to a hateful world? If we are as Christ was in this world, we will be treated as Christ was in this world. But we still have a responsibility to be witnesses. And we'll have help to do that, first of all, as we're filled with the Scriptures. Are you studying the Word of God? Are you reading it daily? Do you know the Bible? Can you give a credible witness, a ready answer to anyone that asks you of the hope of Christ? And are you Spirit-filled? Is the Holy Spirit producing fruit in your life, or is there some sin that's grieving or quenching Him? Would you receive the Spirit's witness this morning? Confess, forsake every sin, every known sin in your life, and yield your heart completely to the Lord so that you can have the help that you need, the help that you need to be content and peaceful and joyful in the midst of a troubled world, to be a bold witness and to smile at Satan's rage in the face of a frowning world. Do you have that help? God wants to give it if we're willing to receive it on His terms. How many today would say, "Preacher, God's Spirit has spoken to my heart. I believe I've heard His voice today, and I'm not going to reject that. He's convicted me of a need in my life, and by God's grace, I'm going to be a Scripture-filled, Spirit-filled Christian and not grieve or quench Him by my sin." If God's spoken to your heart in that way, would you quietly raise your hand? You'd say, "Yes, God's spoken to me." Thank you so much for your swift response to God's Word. Lord, thank You for speaking to us. Thank You so much for the ministry of the Comforter. And may we ever be mindful of His voice and not miss any of His slightest promptings or inclinations to be Your witness, especially during this Christmas season. Lord, help us not to get caught up in all the lights and music and packages and foods and everything else and forget that this whole thing is about Jesus Christ. And unless souls receive that gift of eternal life, they will spend eternity in hell. Help us to listen to the Spirit's voice. Help us to see the need of the world around us. I pray for these that have raised their hands. Thank you for tender hearts this morning. I pray that you'd give them extra grace and every help that they need, Lord, to be a contented Christian, to be a Spirit-filled, bold witness unto Christ. Help these in a mighty way, even over this Christmas season. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.